You know, we've been talking about how the microphone amplifies sound, and something's being amplified in your mind and in your thoughts today. And whatever that voice is, or whoever those voices are impacting the way that you think and the way that you feel and the way that you act. Therefore, we have to take stock of who's on the mic. And that's why we've been looking at some of the voices that find their way there, like the voice of fear, for a lot of us, is hogging the mic. We talked about how comparison's on the mic, how people's opinions are on the mic, how religion is on the mic. But if we want to get those things off the mic, ultimately, we have to make sure we've got the voice of God on the mic. And so today we're asking the question, does God still speak, and can I hear his voice? Because it's not going to matter what messages we share about all these other voices that are on the mic unless you know how to get God on the mic. And what I want to say in the affirmative today is God is definitely speaking, and he definitely wants you to know his voice. This is not like a hierarchy of people who are on stages or preach sermons or been to Bible college or have certain degrees or leaders at the church. God wants a relationship with everybody in this building. And how can you have a relationship with somebody and not have a conversation with them and not be able to know their voice and hear their voice in your life? So whoever you are in this place today, wherever you are in church today, the answer is in the affirmative. God is speaking, and he wants to be speaking to you. And so we got to ask the question today, how do I know God is speaking? How do I learn to hear God's voice? How do I know God's voice? And how do I get God's voice on the microphone of my life? And I'm assuming with the question today that we want to know God's voice. So maybe we should start by asking that today. Do you want to hear God's voice? Do you want to know what he has to say about your stuff? Do you want to know what he has to say about your decisions, about your attitude, about the direction of your life, about the people that you're choosing to form relationships with, about who you're going to marry or who you're going to be in business with, or what city you're going to live in, or what kind of character you're going to have? Do you want to hear God's voice in all those things? And if you do, I guarantee you, God is speaking today. And you can know his voice. So how can I hear the voice of God? How can I know the voice of God? Well, we're going to talk about five components today. They're all a part of this story. And we're going to begin today with the most important component, which is you have to plant yourself in the Word of God if you want to hear the voice of God. Because God is speaking, and he is speaking through his word. In other words, if you want to become a person who can say with confidence, I know God is leading me and I know God is speaking to me, then you have to make an intentional decision to plant yourself in the word of God. Not to be in church occasionally, not to own a Bible, not to have a devotional by your bed, not to occasionally drop into a sermon online or to get a little snippet of a podcast here or there. You have to make the decision, I'm going to root my life in the Word of God. The psalmist makes this really clear to us in Psalm chapter 1, and I'm hoping that you have the Word of God with you today, since we're here to come under the Word of God and hear God in the Word of God today. And in Psalm 1, I love the way that he gives us a picture of what we're talking about. The axiom of this talk basically goes like this. The people who hear God's voice best are those who know his Word most. Let me just say it one more time. The people who hear God's voice best are those who know his word most. And the psalmist is helping us see that. Notice Psalm 1, beginning in verse 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. In other words, he's thinking about who he's letting on the mic. She's thinking about who she's letting have control of the microphone. They don't stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Isn't that awesome? It's not like, and occasionally he hears a sermon on Sunday, or once in a while he memorizes a verse of scripture, or there's some highlighted passages somewhere that he can find in the text. No, he or she is meditating. They are marinating in, they're soaking in, they're living in, they're positioned in the word of God, the law of the Lord, day and night. You're like, well, I get the day part, but you know, we're asleep at night. So how do we meditate on God's word at night when we're asleep? But it turns out a lot of us aren't asleep at night. And I believe for my life, a lot of the time I'm not asleep at night is because I didn't meditate on God's word in the day. But if for some reason now you are awake in the night, guess what? Meditate on the word of God if you happen to be awake in the night. Now, the spiritual rhythm of this time would be that people would be awake at night. The watchman would be on the walls in the night, and there would be reasons to be up in the night. And there's the message is, wherever you're going, day or night, make sure that you're planted in the word of God, and through the day you're meditating on it, and through the night you're meditating on it, because those who hear God's voice best are those who know his word the most. This is the written word breathed out by God for his people. And this is how we hear the voice of God. The scripture is closed. The way it would be said theologically is the canon is closed. What does that mean? The 66 books of scripture that have been confirmed by church fathers as being the inspired word of God. By the 300s, the scriptures were together and they were recognized, acknowledged, and accepted. And there's no more writing. There's some empty pages at the back. Those are for you to take some notes and a few highlights in. No more verses going to be added to. No more chapters. No more prophetic messages are going to be written in the word of God. This is the word of God. And the book may be closed, but here's the cool thing. The book is alive. And it is speaking right now. God is speaking right now to anyone and everyone who wants to hear his voice. So number one, I've got to plant myself in the word of God. But there's a second component to this process. This is the anchor, but there's a second seat. And the second seat is I recognize that this is personal. Hearing from God is personal. In other words, it's not just that there's a book sitting in seat number one, and I say, wow, I want to study it and learn about it and memorize it and write it on a note card and be able to teach it or tell a friend about it as if it's just ink on a page. No, I'm recognizing that these words are breath on a page, and the one who breathes them onto the page is still very much alive right now, and I am in, by Christ, a relationship with him. So I'm not just interacting with ink on a page. I am interacting with the author of the word of God. John 1:14 says, and the word, meaning Jesus, the logos is the Greek word there, became flesh and dwelled among us. In other words, this and Jesus are contemporaneous, and when God is speaking, he's speaking what he wants to say through the person of Christ that he sends into the world, who also is one who meditates on this law day and night while he's in human flesh and quotes it, refers to it, teaches it, unfolds it, and helps us understand what God is saying to us through the word. Jesus did that when he was on earth. He was planted in the word, even though he was the word. So when I come to be planted in the word, I don't just show up and say, I need a highlighted passage for the day. No, I show up and I say, Jesus, I want you. I want to know you. I want to love you. I want to sit here with you. I want to linger with you. I want to fall in love with you. I want to worship you. I want to adore you. I want to know you. I want to walk with you. I'm not just looking at this as a one-dimensional book. I am looking at this as a very personal relationship. That doesn't mean I get a personal scripture and you get a personal scripture. No, we're all holding the same holy word of God, but we come to it with a personal dimension in our lives. And if you want to hear God's voice and you want God speaking to you, when you sit down and open this book, start by saying, God, I want to know you. Will you speak to me through your word right now? I am listening. See, we're already upside down for most relationships with God because most of them are highly transactional. We're going to see that in a moment. And we barely have time to sit down. We really just need a resolution, a little word. And there really isn't a huge desire to get into a relationship. But yet then we wonder, I don't know, I don't hear God speaking to me. It's like, I wonder why not? Because you didn't even want to sit down and have lunch with him. Why would he want to share with you what he's thinking about any area of life? So planted, but it's personal. But then I love this. There's also this thing about the plan. And this might be the most powerful part of hearing the voice of God through the word of God for our lives. A lot of times when we come to God and we've come to his word, we already have a plan. Have you ever come to God with a plan? Anybody here ever come to God with a plan? Like, I've got a plan, I'm thinking about it. We're thinking about buying a house over here in Hidden Hills. Now, I'm lacking one last thing. You're like, the inspection? No, we did that. Funds for the closing? No, we got those all set up in escrow, whatever that means. I still don't understand escrow, but it's a thing. We have sold our house. Yes, we did that. So what else? What more could you need? I need your blessing. And since we're really not that tight, and I know you're super busy, you don't even have to look at it. Maybe you just have an angel that does things like this would be fine if you had like somebody on your team. I just need that, you know, thing that says that you're blessing it. Or maybe you're going to take another step and go further and say, no, I need a word. I need a word from God. And it needs to have hills in it because we're buying in Hidden Hills. And wow, I was over here in Hezekiah. And in 2 Hezekiah, I found a verse that says the God is the Lord of the hills. Hello. Hallelujah. We're going to Hidden Hills. The Lord has blessed our plan. I remember the first time somebody made this so obvious and clear to me when I was coming up in ministry and we were having a prayer time before an event. The event was planned, paid for, people were at it. They had already come through the door. It was happening in 9 minutes. And we were in this circle and it was just like, Lord, we're just asking you to bless this night. And this older, mature friend of mine said, what would happen if the Lord said, I don't want to bless this night? So we're going to do it anyway, because everybody's already out there. So what we were doing, not intentionally, was coming with a plan already in motion that in that case, we hadn't honestly fasted or thought much about back there. We just put it all together. And at the last minute, we needed God to give us that little stamp of blessing. And I believe that that kind of planning in life does not set you up to hear the voice of God. Because why does God want to talk to you about a plan that you have already completely and utterly worked out without any input from him? God loves to talk to people who work the other way. Now, understand, I'm not saying that don't leave the house until you know what God told you to wear and all of that. Work, build, and invite God into the process. But the life lesson is, I don't want God to stamp the paper. I want to stamp it. And I'm not stamping it with the word blessed because I can't bless anything. I'm stamping it with the word yes. And you know what's on it? Nothing. And I am putting it on the altar and saying, God, I want to know what you want me to do with my life. I'm planting in your word. I want to build a relationship with you. I want to live with you and for you. You are the greatest thing in time and history. And I have one shot at life and I want it to count. So I don't know any of the details, honestly, but I know you and I've come to know you. And as I'm getting to know you, you are amazing and consistent and beautiful and wise and powerful and worthy and trustworthy. And so God, I want to just say, whatever you want for me, the answer is yes. I don't need diagrams and blueprints. I don't need to know who all else is going to go or how it's all going to work out or play out. I just want you to know this is the way I see the plan working. And I'm telling you, this is the posture that God loves to speak into. This is the heart that he loves to speak into. And I believe this is the person who is going to hear his voice. It's putting yourself in that place where Samuel was. Remember when he was dedicated at the temple and he heard his name called and he thought it was the prophet. So he got up in the night and the prophet said, I didn't call you. And he went back and laid down. He heard his name again, Samuel, Samuel. He goes back and we see this in 1 Samuel 3. Finally, the prophet says, oh, I get it. It's not me calling you. It's the Lord calling you. So when you hear your name again, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. It's getting into that mindset. It's coming to the word of God and opening the word and say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Not I'm looking for a verse that I can sort of, you know, kind of work around to say, ah, this is going to confirm my plan. Now, yes, we want to make sure the plan is congruent to the word of God. We're going to see that in a moment, but we're not coming like I'm doing this, whether I get a word or not, get a blessing or not, see the scripture coming around it or not. I'm already there, but it would be nice if I had some way of saying that God is in this also. The fourth part of this that's super important for you and me is that we understand that God has given us a place to process the way that he's speaking to us. So we're planted in the word, we're personalizing and building a relationship with Jesus, we're opening our lives up to what he wants for us, but then God has fortunately put us all in community. So nobody is being called to live out the Christian life on their own. In other words, everyone God spoke to in the word, like Abraham or to any of those Moses or any of the people, Paul, that he called, when he spoke to them about the plan that he had for their lives, which was very much different oftentimes from the plan they had for their lives, it was always not for their benefit, but it was for the benefit of all of his people. Do you understand what I just said? So God isn't trying to get offline with you to only talk to you about things about you. He wants to be in relationship with you so that he can talk to things about you that therefore can benefit all of the people that he loves. And he's given you a place to process that. Because if you're like me, every now and then God says something to you and you're kind of like, I think that's what you're saying, but I'm not 100% sure. Anybody been there before? And so where do you work that out? Well, you work it out with him, you work it out in the word, but you work it out in the community of faith that God has put you in. Like, who are your people? Who's your spiritual mentor? Who is your spiritual advisor? Who is your accountability group, connect group? Who are the people that are planted, that are in relationship with God, that are surrendered to the purposes and plans of God, and that are in your life so that as you're working it out, they can speak into that in your life. I remember in another season, Shelly and I were in such a group and one of the people came to our group and said, I'm making this massive, huge transition. And every person in the group thought at the same time, terrible idea. Have you ever been in a situation like that? And none of us wanted to kind of, we didn't all just like, you know, go crazy. But next day, one guy goes and has coffee with this person and says, hey, I'm not really feeling great about that. And there was a little pushback. But the next day, another person called them and said, hey, I'm not feeling a lot of peace about this. At the end of the day, everyone in the group had told the person, no way, man. No way. Not happening. And when people were sharing that, they weren't saying, the Lord has spoken to me and I have a word for you and you're not supposed to do that. It was just wisdom. It was wisdom of people who were planted in God's word in relationship with God and who knew the person and knew the circumstance and were like, this is not a wise decision. That's called the process of living in community. And that is a vital part of how God speaks to people. Ephesians 5:21, Paul said, submit yourselves to one another. What he was saying really more specifically is be humble enough to be kind of spoken into or under the authority of your brother and your sister, not just the spiritual teacher, but humble yourselves to each other and say, I believe God's speaking to me right now. I believe God has got something for us to do in life. I want to put that out on the table, not so that we can have a democratic vote. And if it's a 4-3, I'll do it. And if it's not, you know, I won't. But I just want to humble myself to the process because that's how I can confirm what God is saying to me. So I've got a plant. It's personal. I've submitted a plan the right way to God. And I've got a process called the community and the church around me, which I just asked that question today. Who are your people that you would go to right away that are planted, that you would know right away, I'm gonna make a big decision, I'm gonna go to these guys. And I hope it's someone like is in my life. I've got some people in my life that I'll throw things out occasionally, like, hey, I was thinking about whatever. And sometimes people are like, hey, well, here's what I think about that, or here's all my opinion about that. I have a couple of friends, and when that happens, all they do is just send me back scripture. Anybody in your life like that? I mean, you're like, I wasn't looking for a passage of scripture, but thank you very much. Do you have an opinion, you know? Like, I was just looking for some insight, maybe talk things through, whatever. And they're so planted, so immersed, so overflowing with the word of God. It's just what comes back from them. And their go-to response is, oh, you were asking about whatever? Here is what God's word says in three different places about stuff like that. That's the kind of person that we all need in our life. Because none of us want to make a big decision based on somebody else's preference. And that doesn't mean that there's not a place for us to make wisdom decisions in life, and I'll touch on that in a second as well. But plant, is everybody with me, by the way? Plant, personal, plan, process. And then there's this last seed over here, and that is particular. In other words, let me move my chair a little bit. Does God, I know God speaks to his word, through his word, but does he speak particularly to me and to my situation? And the answer to that is yes. Of course God does. God wants to be in such a relationship with you that you know his prompting and leading as you're walking through your life. This we see in scripture. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. When you read the book of Acts, these brothers and sisters who planted the church, they were led of the Spirit. The Spirit prevented them from going into this place. They were encouraged by the Spirit to go to that town, and they were encouraged by the Spirit to speak in this way. And so we see that leading in their lives all the way through. And then Romans 8 says, then those who are led of the Spirit are the sons and daughters of God. So yes, God wants to be particular. Yes, he wants to get into the details. No, he's not adding any more words to the Holy Scripture, but yes, he wants to speak into your life and into my life. Now, I have friends that have told me they've heard the audible voice of God. I have people I know who have told me they've actually seen Jesus in real life and had an encounter with him. And I don't say to them, no, you didn't hear the audible voice of God, and no, you didn't see Jesus. But I know that the scripture teaches that the norm is not that. So I haven't lived my whole life going, I hope I hear the audible voice of God today. And I don't feel disappointed or shortchanged at this stage of my life because I haven't heard the audible voice of God in my life. Because I have Jesus' words who said to his followers after the resurrection, blessed are those who have not seen and still believe. And I'm like, you were talking about me. Because it's more normal that the way that the kingdom is working right now is that I'm not going to have an audible conversation with God Almighty, and I'm not going to see him in the flesh. And so, but can he speak particularly into my life? Absolutely. I'm sitting here by and large because God spoke particularly into my life. We were living in Texas. You guys know our story. My father was disabled here in Atlanta, and Shelly and I very, very much wanted to come to Atlanta and to help my mom take care of my dad. And there would be these pinnacle moments where I would just cry out to the Lord and say, God, please, please, please release us to go to Atlanta and help take care of dad. I can remember a couple of these, two in specific right now. I think there are more like three, but the first one, I remember just crying out all through the night, God, please, 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 please let us go to Atlanta. The next day, I opened my devotional reading, and that day's reading, I mean, right there at the head of the page as I'm getting into God's word that day is Luke chapter 9, when Jesus is qualifying what it takes to follow him. And I'm reading right on the top of the page, the young man that says, I want to follow you, but first let me go home and bury my father. And Jesus says to him, let the dead bury the dead. As for you, you follow me. Not today. And I could have just said as clearly as anything, the Lord spoke to me today. Specifically, particularly, on time, and right here and right now. Do not go today. And our yes was on the table. So it was like, okay, we're here. We plow away. We came to another moment where it was a year or two later, pinnacle moment. And I was like, Lord, please, 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 can we go to Atlanta today? We go to a restaurant the next day. Shelly and I do. We're sitting there having our meal. A server walks over and says, I don't know this. I don't know you guys. And this might be kind of crazy, but I'm a believer. And I just sense the Lord wanted me just to share Luke 9 with you. It says at the end, let the dead bury the dead, but as for you, you follow me. Have a nice day. It's like, not today. A few years went by. And I had taken a few weeks away just to hear from God, get the picture of where God wanted us in our life. I'd set aside about 3 weeks of time. And for the most of that time, I'd been by myself. Shelly and I had been together some of it. And I don't know if you've ever had a time like that, but I mean, 3 weeks had gone by, I pretty much had nothing. I had an empty journal. I was all ready for like, man, I'm just going to like download all this stuff. I mean, the whole thing, hadn't heard very much, if anything. The last day, I'm walking on a beach in Florida by myself, and I know in my heart, 1,000% God is impressing on me, you're free to go to Atlanta. I turned around on the spot, walked back to the condominium, called Shelly on a rotary phone and said, we can go to Atlanta. That was in November. We didn't go that next day, and we didn't go at the end of the year. We waited to the end of the school year in April and left our ministry and moved to Atlanta. Now, if you ask me right now, how did you know when you turned around that that was God speaking particularly to you? I would say, I just knew. Has any Christian ever told another Christian that? I just knew. But you're never gonna hear me come in here and preach a sermon on how I just knew. Because you don't want to build your faith and your communication with Almighty God based on how I just knew something walking on a beach in Florida. No, you want to plant yourself in the Word of God and surrender yourself to the Holy Spirit of God to such a degree that you know what God is leading you to do every single step of your life. Now, what did we do from that moment, of that particular moment over there? Well, we went right into our process. Went right to my board of directors and said, I feel like this is what God is putting on our hearts. And what do you guys think? And let's pray about it together. We went to our team. We went to our circle of friends in our life at that time, and everybody weighed in. And over a process of time, everybody came to the decision, this is what God wants you to do. Our yes was on the table. So, hey, if it's stay again and be faithful here, we will. If it's go, we're ready to go. If it's something that we don't even know, we're ready to do that too, because mostly we just want to be where you want us to be, because we've been planted in this word of God and we want to share this word of God with the whole wide world. We have had particularly so many supernatural things happen in our lives. I mean, from a little thing like sitting in a fast food parking lot in my car alone having lunch a few weeks ago. I kind of felt like I need to pull my coat over when I said that. And just like that, at 2:20, just sensing the Lord, just saying, I need you to reach out to so-and-so right now, and I need you to encourage him right now. And that leading to a process where I forgot right then, and someone pulled in, something happened, I lost my train of thought, and it was a couple hours later. And I sent him a voice memo and just said, the Lord put you on my heart today. I just want to remind you that you're appointed and anointed to be right where you are right now. You are God's person for this time. I don't know what's going on in your life today, in your world today, but I just want you to know that God is for you. He put you there. And by the way, we're on our way to dinner because a few hours had passed, and I wish you were going with us. We love you guys. The end. This particular. We didn't get a message back saying, you're not going to believe it. Right at 2:20, we were in a meeting, and something was going down at 2:20 exactly, and it's unbelievable because I didn't say 2:20 and I didn't get into the specifics. I just said, the Lord put you on my heart today. But it's particular. But man, we've had some really crazy, super uber particular ones in our journey. I mean, supernatural, mysterious. God somehow was in that. His ways are higher than our ways, amen. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And we're walking with a supernatural God, and he wants to be supernatural in our story and in our lives. But if you want to know God's voice, plant yourself in God's word and surrender yourself to his spirit to such a degree that in all the moments of life, you will know his leading in your life. And you will lead a supernatural life because a supernatural God will be leading you. I want to close by just giving us a couple of guidelines. And these are more for me personally, but I think they might encourage you as well. And if they do, feel free to take one away. I do believe God speaks particularly to me, but I don't believe that God speaks to me in a way that's not going to be congruent with his word. And so I've come to these guidelines for my life. Number one, I want to be particular about my language. And this has definitely changed since becoming the pastor of a local church, because I feel a great responsibility for our flock. And so before I was pastor of Passion City Church, I might just say the Lord spoke to me, or I think I heard the Lord say, but I've been a lot more particular with my language in the last season of my life. And I don't say, or I might, but I would rarely say the Lord told me, or the Lord spoke to me, or I heard the Lord today say, because I really want to make sure that all the weight is being planted in the Word of God. And so what I've done is I've changed my language, and I would say, I sense the Lord leading me, or the Holy Spirit stirred up something inside of me, or I felt the Lord impressing on me. And you're like, well, Louis, that's all semantics, and you know, what difference does it make? Well, I'm just saying for me, it's more helpful. And I'll tell you why. It puts me in a humble position Because what I've learned in time is in some of these particular things that I could be wrong. And so I like to say, I don't know for sure if the Lord is saying this or is doing this, but I just wanted to encourage you, or I just wanted to offer this. And it puts me in a position, I believe, of being humble, and it helps me be tethered to the Word of God. And so I want to use that particular language about how God's Spirit is leading me in my life. And I want your faith, and you want your faith, to be based on God speaking to you through His Word and not on how somebody else told you that God speaks to them some other way. The second guidelines, everybody still here? It's getting real quiet. I'm not sure if we're all still in here together. Great. The second guideline for me is simply that I want to make sure that whatever I sense personally is consistent with God's Word. So God's not going to impress on me anything or lead me in any way that's incongruent with what He has already spoken in His Word. And so I want to make sure that those two things fit together, because He's always going to be consistent with His Word. And secondly to that, if you want to put a little footnote under that, I'm never going to lift up, I sensed or I felt led or the Holy Spirit stirred something up inside of me. I am never going to set that aside as being equal to the Word of God. The third guideline is that most times what I sense personally is to be acted on privately. Do you know how easy it is to say, Lord, I just want you to speak to me. I just want to hear from you. I just want to know something from your Word today. And then He does. And the very next thing you do is go get in the seat that we didn't add today. And that is to publicly tell somebody else that I have a word from God for you today. I just want to share this word with you. It's like, I just shared it with you like 20 minutes ago. You haven't even digested it. You haven't even processed it. You're not even living in it yet. It hasn't even become a us thing yet. And you took our thing and you're already out here like passing it out like you got something for everybody. Why? Maybe you were wanting to look more spiritual than become more spiritual. I'm not sure what just happened right there, but we were in a relationship and we were trying to hear the voice of God through the Word of God. And all of a sudden now there's this big public pronouncement. The Lord spoke to me today. And not just that simplicity of going, you know what? When you said that, you wanted me to obey it, not announce it. You wanted me to obey it, not tweet it. You wanted me to hear your voice and follow you. Not tell everybody else how to follow you. And I just think that somehow for me, that guideline, it keeps me closer to Him, and it allows His Word to come alive more in my heart. It's kind of like today. The message today isn't, if you're living in Texas and you're thinking about moving to Atlanta, then you've got your answer today. So thank you very much. You're moving to Atlanta, because the Lord told me that in Panama City. I can't tell you how He told me, but trust me, you're supposed to move to Atlanta. No, if you're wondering about moving from Texas to Atlanta, plant yourself in the Word of God. Get to know Jesus. Put on the table a piece of paper that says, I just want your will in Texas or Atlanta or Indiana or wherever else you want me to be. And I want to be where you want me to be. Process it with your people and see what wisdom they can speak into whether you need to make that move or not. And you say, I've already done all that. And everybody says, it looks like a good idea to me. And I think you maybe should move or you could stay. There's no real big red flags anywhere. And God maybe is wanting you as a son or a daughter to know today that, hey, well, do you like Texas or do you like Atlanta? Well, I kind of like Atlanta. Okay, great. Move to Atlanta. Because see, a lot of times we want the answer. We just want like, hey, I've got a minute. I just need you to tell me, what do you want me to do? And what He really wants to tell us is, I want you to love me and fall in love with me and live for me in Texas or Atlanta. That's what I want you to do. And so whether you live in Atlanta or Texas could be particular, but it could be just, hey, pick the one you like the best. Just use wisdom. It's like, God doesn't need to tell you what kind of shoes to wear today. unless you're real hung up on shoes, and then maybe he wants to talk to you about shoes. You don't need to ask him, should I brush my teeth this morning? He's like, son, I mean, how many of you are telling your kids today, brush your teeth, because you're a parent? But you want them to get to the point where they don't ask you, should they brush their teeth anymore? They just know to do that on their own. And so God is wanting us to all grow up. Last thing, just a practical guideline for me. I want to guard my heart. When messages from God come through other people. In other words, I want to be planted and I want to be surrendered. I want to be in this word with the word, open-handed in community. But occasionally someone will say to me, Louis, I have a word from God for you. And I've just learned over time, this is a guideline for me, that I always, my first thought is, I just want to put a filter over my heart. Because, you know, somebody saying something over your life, whether it is or isn't from God, can't be unheard. And when it gets qualified as, this is from God, then you and them from that point forward got to deal with that. That's why I like to put humility in the equation and say to a friend, I don't know if this is from the Lord or not. If it came from here, it's from the Lord. But what I'm about to say, I'm not sure if this is the Lord prompting me to encourage you or not. I just feel led. So I'm going to say this and share this, and it is congruent totally with what God's word is saying. And then I'm just going to let you and the Holy Spirit and your community work that out with the word of God. And I'm not going to load that up on the front end by saying the Lord spoke to me and wanted me to tell you X, unless the X is this. And when I hear those words, I instantly put a filter over my heart because it's hard to unhear them. And I almost kind of want to stop and say, rewind before you tell me that, because this could make our relationship really awkward. Because I've been in situations, I'm not kidding, a couple of times in my life where on the same day or subsequent days, I would get two letters from people, one saying, I have a word from God. He wanted me to write you this letter. I have a word from God. He wanted me to write you this letter. They're about the exact same thing. And they're people I know and love. And both of them were opposite advice. I was like, oh man, what do I do? Well, I'm gonna do either one of these two things or a third thing. And when I do that, I'm about to put one of these relationships on real weird terms. Because from now on, it's gonna be like, well, I wrote you and told you what the Lord wanted you to do and you didn't do it. So obviously you're not very spiritual. And so I just wanna guard my heart. And I want to encourage you in that. When somebody says, I've got a word from God for you, say, is it from the word of God? No, it's just something I don't know where it came from, but I just need to tell you. Then just back up four steps and go, I don't know. I just don't know y'all, but I just wanted to share Luke 9 with you. There's no harm done in sharing a verse of scripture with somebody you don't know. It's not like, hey, I don't know you, but I'm going to tell you this, that, or the other. It's just like, I'm just going to step in and share that with you, but I'm going to preface it in a way that lets you know that it's all about God's voice coming through his word. And does it come particularly? Absolutely. And should you want that in your life? Absolutely. You should ask God to lead you. And you should expect that God wants to lead you. And you should expect that God, through his word, wants you to hear his voice. What a powerful, powerful possibility.